That's the real goal out of all this. Good buddy of the show, voice of the Vandy Boys, Andrew Algretta. You can follow him on Twitter at Algretta. Andrew, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. I literally just sat down at the Hoover Met, and conveniently, it started to rain.
I hear that's been the real consistent there so far.
Yeah, it's been delightful. The best time to play throughout the course of our week so far has been about 2 a.m.
So last night, obviously, well, let me before we get into any Ole Miss, Vandy, you know, Tennessee, all that kind of stuff. Like, what has it been like? It seems like from the outside looking in, you know, I'm following like the SEC on Twitter. I'm following all the individual baseball teams. It seems like they're trying to get news out as fast as they can, but it also seems like it is a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off right now.
Yeah, I mean, the weather's obviously inconsistent. I would not say it's been like a deluge of rain throughout the course of the past 24, 48 hours. It's just been sporadic enough that it's a problem for baseball, right? Because you've got pitchers that need to get loose, et cetera, all of that sort of stuff. And then the blunt part of all of this, guys, is this is a television event. The desire is to have as many baseball games as possible for the sake of television, for the sake of the SEC network. There's not much of a desire to push this thing to multiple fields because I think a lot of coaches feel like the point of this thing is to have it within the atmosphere here at the Hoover Met. So I don't think there's a huge desire for the format to change. We just had Kentucky win a game against Auburn. That's a team that needs as many games as possible to make the NCAA tournament. So if you take it from double elimination down to single elimination, well, you've kind of minimized Kentucky's chances at playing baseball games. And again, as this whole conversation is happening, the rain is picking up more and more for Arkansas and Alabama. So all of this has been, it's less than ideal, but I think everybody's doing the best they can.
Obviously, we heard that Vanderbilt's getting moved to tomorrow for their contest against Tennessee. I mean, do you have any kind of idea or thought or of how the weather looks, obviously, right now with what's been going on there? It looks like it's just going to be storming all tomorrow. So do you have faith that the game's actually going to get played tomorrow?
I don't know, and that's not to be blunt or dodging anything. I just don't know. I think the optimistic stuff would be that, and hopefully you can hear me over the...
It's a little loud, I'm not going to lie. It's a little loud there, Andrew.
Yeah. It's a hype video for Alabama that they're playing.
There's nothing hype about baseball.
Easy now. There's nothing hype about the USFL either.
You're 100% right.
See, I respect that, Andrew. I respect that.
I give credit where it's due.
The optimistic stuff about all of this is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are supposed to be nice. So if we need to rejigger the schedule and play a bunch of baseball when it's nice, then they'll do that. That's the optimistic stuff.
Yeah. So let's go to last night, Andrew. Let's talk about Ole Miss Vandy. Obviously, I every time we get you on, I love talking about the actual broadcast side of it because of the inside the business kind. How was it doing a game that was supposed to be at 4:30? How was it doing a game at midnight like that?
Fine. I wish I had a more interesting answer for you. I mean, I think it's something that we recognize throughout the course of the day. So here comes the nice it wasn't a huge deal. I think kind of all of us have been in situations where schedules get messed up, and then once you kind of start broadcasting the game, it is what it is. I mean, I would have rather done the game in front of a bunch of fans, and the crowd obviously had thinned out by 1 in the morning, but it still wasn't bad. I kind of joked with Kevin on the air at one point in time that there's a lot of college baseball programs that would have taken the crowd that we had at 1 in the morning for any one of their regular games. I did any number of the ACC tournament games for 8 years. There would be 4 people in attendance for a Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech game, or whatever it happens to be at like 2 p.m. on a Tuesday in Durham. So despite all of it, it wasn't bad.
Obviously, Vandy gets the win. It was a big win. They needed that win to continue on in the SEC tournament against Ole Miss, where really right now any game in the SEC doesn't feel like it's any gonna. There's never going to be just a given in this right now with baseball. But Carter Holton last night played pretty well. It seems like when Vandy can get the pitching to be consistent, it seems like you're going to see consistently Vandy winning.
That's sort of Tim Corbin's philosophy, right? Pitching and defense keeps you in ball games, and then get just enough timely hitting to win. I mean, Carter has been, over the past month, not just one of the best pitchers on Vanderbilt's staff or the SEC. He's been one of the best pitchers in the country. I mean, he's been scoreless through 24 innings against Texas A&M, Georgia, Arkansas, and Ole Miss. And those are some of the best offenses in the entire country, Texas A&M and Georgia specifically. So you're talking about one of the best pitchers in the country. So, yeah, when you can throw him out there, that's fantastic. And then everybody else sort of falls back into their place. I know maybe we touched on this a touch, but by skipping Carter Holton, which, again, is the right decision over the weekend against LSU because of that player's need for rest, it did have an effect of guys getting into different roles, and that's not an excuse. It's just reality. But I think that's part of the reason why the pitching guys got loopy against LSU. But when you've got Carter doing his thing, everything falls into place.
We're talking with the voice of the Vandy Boys, Andrew Algretta. Follow him on Twitter at @AAlgretta. Right now, obviously, it's set. At some point, we know that the Vandy Boys are going to be playing the Vols. When you go back to that series here at the Hawk, in really, I mean, it was one of the most televised college baseball games this season, obviously. Vandy against the Vols. Vols end up sweeping the Vandy Boys. Do you feel that there's any kind of little extra oomph into this one now they get a second crack at Tennessee?
You know, I would hope so. I guess so. I've kind of thought about that and gone back and forth. I think there's an internal drive and desire to get that victory. On the flip side, it's not the Hawk. It's not the juiced up environment that the home crowd at either the Hawk or Lindsey Nelson would have. It could be a little bit muted because it's at the Hoover Met. And advantage, I'm not saying in the game goes to Vanderbilt, but it levels out a little bit because the Hoover Met has been playing ginormous all week because of the rain, the weather, the wind, and Tennessee slugs home runs. That's like their thing. It should keep the ball game, you would think, potentially a little bit more low scoring because both teams do have good pitching staff. So if that is the trend that we get, I'll be really curious to see which way it falls.
Well, when with Tennessee, obviously, you know, they've kind of had the up and down end of their season, if anything, you can kind of say that way. But do you feel like this is the same two teams that met previously a month and a half ago that are meeting now? Or do you feel like these teams have kind of evolved a little bit?
Yeah, not really. Kind of going through Tennessee and understanding their ebbs and flows the past month or so. You know, Dolander got hurt, their ace pitcher. Now he is back. Chase Burns has not seen as many reps as a starting pitcher. He was their Friday night guy. And a guy like Colin Hewitt missed a little bit of time for Vanderbilt. He did play. That helps the offense get back on track. Bradfield has been better down the stretch for the most part. That has augmented Vanderbilt's offense. I think it's still two very, very good teams, and I have no inclination necessarily which direction this thing is going to go. Tennessee's still very good, regardless of anything else and how their season has moved over the past 2 months. They're still very, very good. But, yeah, I don't get the same sort of – I mean, Tennessee was just cruising the last time Vanderbilt played them back in early April. They look like world beaters. They're still, again, very, very good. But, you know, they lost a couple of games. Things have been a little bit close. They lost a series to Kentucky. Again, they're a great team, but it's not kind of the plane that they were on a month and a half ago.
And, I mean, I think I agree with that as well. They were on top of the world at that point. And still, I mean, finishing number one in college baseball. But it does feel like Vanderbilt, who has – obviously the LSU series gets a little weird. It feels like they have more momentum going into this. When you look at it from what Tim Corbin's been saying and the frustration that's been very open about – that Tim Corbin's been very open about – it feels like this game has more it has more going for it than just being the second round of the SEC tournament.
I suppose so. I think Coach Corbin's mindset is less about, boy, do I really want to beat Tennessee, and more to do with, is my team playing the way that it's supposed to and positioning itself to make a run to Omaha? And Tennessee is the next team up, and he would say it a million times. I'm not saying something new. The best way to figure out how to win in a tournament, like the NCAA tournament, is to win in a tournament, like the one that we're in right now. So I think he's going to get his team geared up to be mindful of winning a ball game in a tournament more than just beating Tennessee. But I do suspect there is a deep desire to get this win because it's Tennessee, if that makes sense, right? I think it's a secondary factor, but it's going to simmer underneath the surface.
Talking with Andrew Algretta, what's it been like down there fan-wise with the way the games have been just kind of all over the place, not being played, a lot of hurry-up and wait going on? What has been the Hoover been like so far?
I mean, there's a bunch of people floating through the concourse right now. Plenty of people with Arkansas, Auburn, LSU. It's still a pretty good environment here. It's been unfortunate with the weather because I don't think anybody's been able to get out here and really do the tailgate thing. There's a couple of tents out there, but those are the true tailgate warriors. We've been muted a touch because of the weather, but I mean, don't sell this thing short. It's still plenty busy with Southeastern Conference baseball.
Do you feel like, I mean, it's funny to look at I think the Big 12, they're playing inside of a dome. And, you know, I think there's ever going to be any kind of talk to change that because this isn't the first time the SC tournament has been hurt. I feel like this might be one of the most strenuous times, but they've definitely had the weather delays. They've definitely had this before playing outdoors. Do you think there's ever going to be any change in location?
I don't know. You're asking somebody that's at this tournament for the first time and doesn't have the history and the context of it. I certainly recognize the significance of this tournament at this place, much in the same way that for any number of years, I recognized the significance of the ACC basketball tournament in Greensboro. It felt for the longest time that it would be sacrilegious to move it from Greensboro, and then they did it. So I think in the current landscape of college athletics where, you know, everything changes from year to year, making a guarantee would be foolish, but I certainly don't have any insight about whether or not, you know, we're going to lock up the Hoover Met for the next 20 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just got to be some level of frustration that people are feeling down there. I got to think that the SEC would be feeling it too with just how, I mean, this isn't an easy thing to just pick up and move a whole TV schedule, broadcast, all this different stuff. It's not like something they can just do on the fly. So I got to feel like you got to be seeing some kind of frustration down there, right?
I mean, from a fan perspective, sure. I think you're going to... You can't be overreacting to one season, right? Like, if you feel like this is the best place to be and this is your best tournament, you've got to take your lumps if it's going to be one season out of 10. So if that's the case, you take your lumps. But, again, I don't have the context of how often this happens. My understanding is it happens every now and then, but not at all to this degree. It's not like we're attempting to play this thing in Seattle in the middle of November, where it's going to rain every single day. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now let's change up subject a little bit because we have a friendship to repair. Because you go over to John Burton's show and you don't have to tell me the exact number, but I know John had to have slid you a paycheck of some sort to say what you said over there on their show.
It wasn't even that bad, man. You're soft.
Oh, wait. We're doubling down on this now, huh? There was no paycheck that was gone through? Burton didn't slide you any Channel 5 dollars?
Burton is the strongest human that I've ever seen. And if he wants something done...
I haven't seen
done,
very many humans, huh?
You're not as strong as him, Bruno.
I think you're wrong. I mean, well, go ahead.
I'm making a life-saving calculation on the person most likely to break me, and Burton seems like he's on that list. So.
Well, see, this is the thing, Andrew. Just like you were talking about, you didn't have the context for the Hoover Met and all that. You don't have the context on Bruno. You know, you're talking to an all-American wrestler. You're talking to a judo black belt.
Clinically insane.
I mean, and Burton, you know, when you're talking to Burton, you're talking to, you know, a 5'2".
Andrew, I don't even need to see you. I've never seen you before, Andrew. I know you look down when you talk to Burton, so it can't be that scary.
Yeah, But I also have to look left and right when I talk to him, too.
Well, true. True. I always equate Burton to he's that. Did you ever play Mario, Andrew? It's like that that big concrete block. Yeah, that falls out.
Yeah. I don't know. I suppose you could put me in some sort of headlock, Bruno, and Burton will just flatten me. So I don't know. Which one sounds less fun to you?
I'm not out here threatening you, if that's what's being implied. That
apparently Burton is, though.
I mean, my mind is blown right now.
I can't believe Burton would stoop that low to threaten the voice of Vanderbilt to say these terrible things about us. I just can't believe it, Andrew.
What a strange path we've walked down here today.
Andrew,
it's the only path I walked.
It's the only path. It's the only path. Hey, Andrew, I appreciate you jumping in with us, man, especially last minute it is so far. We're trying to figure everything out up here for the broadcast, and I know you're doing the exact same thing down there, so I appreciate you jumping on with us, my man.
I wish there was more like behind-the-scenes mechanics. It's a lot of hurry up and wait here, but I appreciate you guys. It's awkward for you guys, too, not never knowing exactly when the show is going to stick and happen on a day-to-day basis. But we shall see. At the moment, Arkansas and Alabama are plugging along to their best of their ability, which, you know, if they finish their games here today, then we'll probably be off and running mildly early tomorrow. If they don't, then hold your horses and we'll evaluate on a minute-by-minute standpoint. So I appreciate your flexibility too, guys.
Hey, you're saying a mouthful. We woke up Monday thinking we weren't going to have three shows this week to having to fill three shows this week. So
I always tell people, there's no one that works harder than a radio host.
And right? Bruno and, you know, how much they paid me to say something nonsensical, which is zero, by the way. Clearly.
Speaking of nonsensical, John Burton just tagged us on Twitter. So once Andrew hops off, we'll
oh my
yeah,
God.
He did. Yeah, I can't that's even. What I had ready to go for you guys.
This guy.
What have I got myself into? I'm just trying to have like a soda and watch some baseball, and now I've got to deal with chaos on the side.
Andrew, welcome to Nashville media. That's just what it is, I guess.
Everyone thinks we're really important, but really no one cares what we're doing. So.
There's that, too.
Hey, Andrew, appreciate it, my man. I'll let you get off here.
Take it easy, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Let me read you to the street real quick.
What did he say?
Prayers up for at.